Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
Yeah.
Whatever you
want to
do. Why
are
you laughing?
I heard you. After your sip. Yes. Yes, indeed. All right, you ready to get going?
Sure.
Let's hit it.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. First, before we get started, I just want to give a quick shout out and congratulations to the Kansas City Royals, World Series champions of 2015.
Jesus, I'm so happy that baseball over. All right, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I was praying they won because I was just like, please, just let this be over. Don't nobody be talking about, oh, Empire will be back then when the World Series over. This will be back when the World Series over on Fox. All right,
go. they beat the Mets 4-1 last night. Well, the series 4-1. The game was 7-2 in twelve innings.
Ooh, 7-2.
Wow. Yeah, offensive explosion at the end.
Why did it take 12 innings if it was 7-2?
That's what I ain't figured out.
It was tied up, and then somebody blew up in the 11th inning.
Mm-hmm. Basically. So, yeah. It was an exciting series. I would actually say that I watched a few games.
I would never say that. But
well, not necessarily for me. I usually would not say that because the only baseball I watch ever is when my brother was playing. So, and now that he is done, I never really took too much of an interest in it. But it was an exciting series. A lot of back and forth. The Mets were heavily favored by just about every sports writer you heard from because of their pitching.
Oh, well.
And it turned out to be the other way.
It can let you down.
Yes. But,
Kansas City. I'm so glad that's all.
And moving right along, NCAA football. Let's see, your Gators. Y'all chomped up the dogs over the weekend.
Okay, this is great to be a Florida Gator, I'll tell you. I tell you the truth, it is. And I'm still worried Treon is not good. And all that game, I was texting my siblings saying, Lord, if I could go somewhere and choke Will Greer, I would. But I don't know where he is, so I can't.
We can't locate him.
Right. Because that don't make no sense. We would be so much better. Treon, that boy was 3 for 12. And I said, what the world? And he had that one play for 66 yards. Which means he was, before that, 2 for 11 with like 30-something yards passed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad. Thank God for defense and special teams and that Georgia offer. Because they really just not good either. So.
Yeah, speaking of Georgia, in that whole being awful, the last 3 or 4 years, have they not always been coming into the season favored to win the East?
Supposed to. And if Ifs was Phipps, we'd all be drunk. So, they had
it. I mean, it just seemed like every year they favored to win, and they don't ever work out for them.
Mike, Mark, whatever his name is, he might want to start looking for a job. Because, I mean, Missouri won the last two. I mean, I don't remember the last time. What, 2005? Been 10 years.
Yeah, Mark Rick, he might need to go ahead and polish up that resume.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they must have put on it.
But,
get ready.
Let's see. In other games, the Miami Hurricanes escaped Duke.
Let me tell you, that's some foolishness.
With 8 laterals on the kickoff return.
Somebody should just do a flag for general principle. and just say, oh, at the end you can say, I picked up the flag.
Right.
No penalty. But just throw it, because you've got to go back and look at that and say something went wrong.
Yeah, the ACC has suspended the officials in the case. Just a couple of things I'm here reading off the internet. The replay officials should have ruled Miami back Mark Walton was down before releasing the ball on one of the laterals.
Right.
Let's see. The on-field official failed to penalize Miami for an illegal block in the back at the 16-yard line.
Somebody came on the field before the game was over.
Right. The players from the Miami bench came onto the field before the game was over.
Yeah.
On-field crew failed to penalize Miami. Okay, yeah, that was a Miami receiver for leaving the bench early. The block in the back penalty that was called at Duke 26-yard line was picked up after the officials conferred, which is appropriate. They corrected it.
Why we put that on there? I couldn't understand why they put that on there. I read that. I said, well, why did I put that on there if that was the right call? Next.
Right, but anyway, long story short, the ACC has suspended that officiating crew. And Coach Cutcliffe and Duke are just, left to say
they
what a shit cool. Yeah.
And they should have won that game and still be undefeated.
Yeah.
But these, how many people? Six guys? Seven?
Yeah.
They don't mess up these people's season. Because Duke ain't no, unless they win the ACC, they'll get a good ball game. But
and Miami wasn't going anywhere.
Nowhere. Again. If you just throw a flag and be like, I thought I saw something. Even and then let's go to the replay.
Yeah.
You can always pick up a flag and say, hey, it was no infraction.
Let's see.
But you can't go back after the fact. This was craziness.
In off the field news, Ohio State on a bye week, they're starting quarterback.
What is an OVI or whatever that is?
Operating a vehicle under the influence.
No. I know what that is. I don't know what they put that on there. But they're trying to trick the people. They're trying to confuse the regular humans. Is that what they were doing?
I think so.
Because I've never heard it called anything but a DWI or a DUI.
Right.
This OV, really?
Yeah, that must be what they get when, it's a special person involved.
Either that, or I can see, if you were driving like a lawnmower while drunk or something. Driving it down the street because you were drunk. Like, right, okay. I might see you saying operating a vehicle, but that ain't even a vehicle. I really can't even. Look, he was drunk driving. Just call it drunk driving.
So, JT Barrett will be suspended for their next game against Minnesota, which is basically just him sitting out because they're going to kill Minnesota anyway.
See, and this is the thing. Now, I appreciate Urban's efforts at Florida, but he had some disciplinary problems, allegedly, when he was with us.
Allegedly, yeah. Cam Newton stole laptops and everything else.
But Cam got in trouble for that and then wound up leaving. It's not that in particular incident. You got Hernandez out wilding out. I ain't never recall him missing no games, punching people. And all the other stuff at restaurants.
Well, yeah.
But anywho,
he got his.
How do you get one game suspension for drinking and driving? What kind of standard are you set for your? Oh well, that's terrible.
And this isn't just a regular player. This is your starting quarterback, your team captain. There should have been some extra punishment involved in that. And I'm not just saying just for him. Anybody.
Now, the other kid's like, drinking and driving ain't that bad.
I'm going to just sit out.
Right.
Let me go and do this before we play, just whoever at the bottom of the big team. Let me go do that before we play them so I can just sit out a game.
Who they play out of that Minnesota game?
I don't know. Got to be Michigan coming up soon.
I'm about to say, if it's a big game, I'm going to have even more problems.
Mm-hmm.
My computer ain't working.
Uh-oh.
I don't pull it up. I don't turn it off 3 times. It still ain't working.
No. So sad. Let's see. Let's go ahead and take a break while you deal with your computer issues. And on the other side, we'll get into some NFL talk. At a shootout in the Superdome over the weekend.
Yes. Okay.
And we'll get into that and much more on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NFL, the shootout in the Superdome. What else you want to call it? The blackout on Bourbon Street.
I don't know, but I've never seen. Okay, I've seen some high scoring games, but this was kind of like a video game.
Yeah.
With plays that you normally don't see. Eli Manning rolling out, and Lord, you know he ain't athletic, but he trying to scramble, throw the ball, just throw it because it's fourth down. The New Orleans guy missed times his jump and landed to the guy, and they tied the game up. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Then I text viewer, and I was like, there ain't nobody playing no defense. They just was marching right down the field. They scored on, New York scored on their first. New Orleans scored, then New York scored, then New Orleans scored, then New York missed, then New Orleans scored, and now it's like, this is out of range.
Yeah, right at the end of the game, it was like 50-something seconds left, and I remember telling them, I said, uh-oh, y'all done gave Eli 50 seconds.
Right, because it was about like last possession win, which is what happened, because they let that boy punt, run that punt back to like the 50 or 40, got the penalty or whatever happened, then he kicked that
50-yard field
goal.
Yeah. So New Orleans escaped 52-49. Drew Brees tied a league record with 7 touchdowns and set a personal record and a team record with 511 passing yards.
Craziness.
Yes.
That's going up down the field five times. That's crazy.
Marcus Colston had a resurrection. We hadn't seen him since 2006.
Well, the last time we saw him last week, he was dropping the ball. Well, he made one good catch, but he was dropping the ball way too much.
Yes, so I don't know that it means much. The NFC East is still up for grabs, and it's ridiculous that the Cowboys are like 0-5 in their last 5 games without Romo, and they still have a chance to win that division.
We talked about that, though. Yeah. We talked about if they can just get the 8-8 or whatever, they'll be fine because they division terrible.
And the Saints, with the Falcons losing yesterday, they're only 2 games back from.
We talked about the Falcons. What did we say? Let me say what I personally said. I don't trust them because they start off and then they just, I don't trust them. See, now you see why. Y'all should not be losing to the Tampa Bay Bucks.
They jump out there and you know, it's like they shock people. Like, oh, Julio Jones can play. Every year it's a shock. And then they figure out a way to cover him about week 6-7, and then the Falcons fall apart.
I don't get it. You can't lose to Tampa Bay. I do know that. Tampa Bay is not that good. They got a rookie quarterback. You just can't lose to them. And wasn't they at home?
Yeah, sure was.
That's double bad.
You don't lose in the Georgia Dome like that.
You gotta protect your house and steal some games.
Let's see. In other games, the Steelers and the Bengals, Ben Roethlisberger makes his return. Had a really good game, and, you know, Bengals wind up winning 16-10. Le'Veon Bell is the big story, as he is torn his MCL and is likely out for the season. He just started a ripple effect of a bunch of injuries yesterday.
Well, he didn't start it. It all started. I'm going to tell you whose fault it is. Bryant for the Dallas Cowboys broke his foot that first game.
I thought you was about to blame it on the Michigan.
No, I ain't blaming it on Michigan. It ain't his fault. It just ain't his fault. Then after Bryant got hurt, Romo got hurt. Then somebody told something else. It's so many injuries, I can't even call them all. The good wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers tore his ACL.
Jordy Nelson, yeah. Kelvin Benjamin in Carolina tore his like a week later.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, now you got this guy on tore his MCL. You got the old Carolina receiver on Toy's Achilles.
Yeah.
Yesterday, that boy in the New Orleans game.
Kyrie Robinson.
I saw it was broke when they showed the replay. If it wasn't broke, it was going to be the worst sprain ever.
I felt so sorry for him when they were rolling him off the field because he was just in tears.
He was so distraught. Mm. It was like, why me? He was looking at the guy like, bro, I don't know, but it's going to be all right. He was patting him on the head, and he was just kind of like, why me? Me and you talked about this. I don't think we was on the air, but I ain't never seen so many injuries. Like
Steve Smith. He out, torn Achilles.
The old Carolina.
Okay, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, Steve Smith with the Ravens now is likely done because he said it's going to be his last year.
Right. And then you look at, even in the NBA, like, I promise, we talked about it. The injury that used to be the worst injury ever was the ACL. Mm-hmm. And it was always female athletes tearing their ACL, tearing their ACL. You rarely, if ever, said it was a guy that was tearing his ACL. Now you look up guys tearing their ACLs, tearing their Achilles. I mean, overtraining. I'm going to just say it's got to be overtraining or something because mm-hmm. it don't make sense. Like, I mean, my memory pretty good, and I don't recall a lot of people having, like, tearing their Achilles. Like, that's kind of a new injury, and I don't know if that's some new training that's not working out for people.
Yeah, like my dad said, I mean, when he played, they didn't do all this stretching and
exactly.
They just went out there and played.
They got out there, and all they might have is twist the ankle.
Right.
Oh, a sprained knee. You'll be fine. Now, they do all this lifting, the Pilates, and yoga, and speed work, and wanting to jump on 36-speed boxes and all that other foolishness.
Right.
And it ain't helping your body do nothing but wearing it down. Yes. So, I don't know what they're going to do, because what Big Ben, what he hurt? What he hurt?
Yeah, his MCL. It was a sprain. It wasn't torn.
But he was gone for a couple of three games. I'll tell my athletes to sit down somewhere when the season's over. Don't train until about 6 weeks before we're about to start, maybe a month.
Yeah, take your break.
Let your body rest. Nothing but rest.
And constant pounding on them ligaments.
If you can swim, get in the pool, that's going to be, you know, no strip, no weight-bearing exercise. Maybe do some yoga, keep your flexibility and all good. Nothing else.
Last night, in the Sunday night football game, the battle of undefeated teams, the Broncos defeated the Packers 29-10 in Denver. The Broncos' defense is something serious. They held Aaron Rodgers, who is touted as, you know, the best quarterback in the league, not named Tom Brady. They held him to 77 yards passing. Just made the Packers offense that is, you know, one of the best in the league, just made them look like they were terrible last night.
Well, again, defense can only take you so far. We ain't seen but one defense in a long time win a championship, and that was the Ravens in 2000 or 2001, whatever year that was. Mm-hmm. And so if Peyton can't do something, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, they had a very good night for them, at least offensively. He didn't score any touchdowns, but his running game finally showed itself. Of course, the Packers' defense has always been kind of struggling against the run, so you don't want to take too much out of that.
Right.
But he's going to have the Peyton, that is, him and the offense is going to have to step it up. If they're going to make noise this year, the defense is going to hold their own.
Because they're going to hold their own, but it's always some kind of play that's going to, like, some things is just going to happen that even if you're going to be in good defense position, they're going to score, they're going to call a flag, something. So your offense has got to give you something. They can't have you three and outs and, you know, even six and outs, depending on who it is. You're going to be tired. The defense is going to get tired as the season go on. And so,
Well, I think that's going to take us to our next break. On the other side, we'll get into a little documentary special that's going to be aired on HBO tomorrow night about one of T's old Lakers, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Skyhook. Watch out for that Skyhook.
It's going to be called Kareem, Minority of One. And we'll get into that, talk a little bit about it, and we'll get into Scandal on the other side.
Well, I can't get into nothing. My computer ain't working. Go ahead.
It's been the Mac and T Show.
I don't turn it off like 5 times, and I am not saying like fiction 5. I'm saying literally 5 times.
Oh, Lord. This has been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Tomorrow night, HBO will be airing a documentary special called Kareem, Minority of One, which is about the life and career of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's a different character.
He's different.
And as James Worthy put it, he's just a different piece of toast.
I don't know about the toast, but he different.
Yeah, he's just a strange cat, and it'll be interesting to see because it's supposed to delve into, you know, why that is.
Well, you really can't tell why somebody different, and he embraces his different. He don't try to conform to the norm and be something he's not. He embraces it and go with it. Now, we knew he was different when he changed his name. You always like, okay, we know that this got hooked. Finally, my computer working, people. I didn't have to get me a GoFundMe account. Okay, anyway, when he changed his name, and then, you know, after his career, which was awesome, you just like, okay, well, he should be able to get a job coaching somewhere. Never had. He was always a position coach. He was going to help some center for like 2 seconds.
Right.
And then you didn't hear anything. Then he'll pop back up like when Dwight Howard came. It was talks of him helping Dwight. Then that didn't go any well. And so I'm interested to see what the documentary, what they come up with as to why he's so different.
I mean, it's supposed to be pretty moving, and I mean, there's a report of when they had a viewing of it about a week ago. I mean, it brought him to tears. So,
no, they're gonna say his parents died or something. What?
I don't know. I don't know. It's tomorrow night.
I didn't know if you had got some kind of.
No, I don't have the inside scoop. No.
No underground.
Yeah. No, the podcast ain't made it that large yet. Oh, let's see. Scandal. Episode starts out with Fitz and Olivia planning to get married.
Sit down somewhere.
A lot of people on their team is trying to get them to get married so that Olivia would not have to testify in the impeachment hearing because they can, you know, do spousal privileges or whatever.
First of all, have he divorced Nelly?
No.
Well, you can't marry nobody else.
The papers were signed on this episode, you know.
Oh, okay. So you can't marry somebody until you get a divorce.
Right.
That's my last understanding of how we do it in America.
Well,
whatever.
But that, I mean, it was made official. The papers were signed and everything. So they are divorced now. But.
Well, go ahead and explain to us why Nelly signed this. I'm hard pressed to see why Nelly would. She don't have nothing to gain from signing a divorce decree.
Yes, well, let me get through the rest. Let's see. Jake decides to join his wife, Elise, that we just found out he was married to a couple episodes ago.
What?
Yeah.
Jake that's supposed to be in love with Olivia.
And got this wife on who and both of them thought the other one was dead. So there was that. But how they live in this time and in day and time and not know for so long that the other one's still alive or whatever. So she decides to join his wife Elise in having Daddy Polk killed in prison. So Daddy Polk realizes that right now he's been beat up, so he's in the hospital part of the prison. And he realizes if he goes back to the actual prison, he will die. So he enlists, you know, first he tries to reach out to Olivia. She hangs up the phone on him. So eventually what happens is he gets word back to Olivia that he can make all this impeachment stuff go away. All those B613 files that you thought were destroyed are, he basically says they're in his head. So I guess his head is a memory card now. Anyway. So
he might have a photographic memory.
Well, he said that he can make all the impeachment stuff go away if he's released. So since he is in a Virginia penitentiary, Olivia gets the senator of Virginia, Melly, to release him.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So she releases Daddy Polk. Daddy Polk sends, I mean, literally, bang, 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 he gets released. A bunch of manila folders show up at the impeachment trial to get handed over to all the impeachment committee. And it's all that dirty laundry. Like, one guy has pictures of some little girl that was gagged and, you know, just a bunch of different, all that dirty laundry comes out in these pictures. So they, in turn, shut down the case. There's no more impeachment. Fitz is saved. Blah, blah, blah.
Fitz saved. Daddy Pope out. He about to do something else.
Yeah, he back rolling free. Gonna act a fool, I'm sure. And the episode ends with Melly telling Olivia that she has a revelation. That this is, you know, now that Daddy Pope's out and the impeachments are over with, they can go about their life. Her and Fitz can quote unquote be together. Melly says to Olivia that she knows how you're gonna repay me this way. You're gonna get me the White House. So Melly got Olivia. Melly done switched it on him.
Melly wanted to be a president. I forgot about that. And so, this is Fitz's last term, so that makes perfect sense.
So Melly done swerved on him.
This is how the episode, because we said, like, if once Fitz is out of the White House, what is going to happen? How is this going to keep going? Now we see.
Yeah, and I mean, all throughout the episode, Melly and Olivia were meeting in this little secret tunnel or whatever. So the episode ends with them meeting again in that tunnel, and when Melly shows her plan, it tells her plan to Olivia, and she got this evil smile on her face, all of a sudden the camera pans, and Daddy Pope and Big Tom, the B613 agent that was on the White House detail that we ain't seen in a whole season, both of them show up. They both get released from prison, so they're both there. Daddy Pope even announced that, you know, he got Tom released as a favor. Melly even threw in a 2-for-1.
The one that said that it was the one that you just told me who was married. What's his name?
Jake. Yeah.
Tom, the one that said Jake was the reason he did that to the president's son. Okay. That's a mess. Okay, now I might have to get back on.
Yeah, because Melly is now working with the people that killed her son, which is mind-blowing, but it's all for her.
Does she know? I know she know Tom. Does she even know Tom had a part in it?
She does now, because when Olivia was trying to get Daddy Pope released, she had to tell her.
Okay.
That, you know, this is who. Because Melly didn't know that the Damascus, whatever he said his name was, when he came to Melly. Well, he didn't know that Daddy Pope was him.
Okay, now she's getting somewhere, because from all y'all was telling me, I was like, I'll probably be out scandal. This is getting to be too little. Look, not too much, too little. But now we getting somewhere. Do we have little side stories anymore? Or we still waiting for them?
Not yet. I'm sure they will come up with some, because Elizabeth North, I fail to believe that she's just gonna go away quietly.
She ain't forgot.
And of course,
come up talking about she run crazy.
And you know Cyrus is back in there, so Cyrus always gonna act the fool.
Yeah, Cyrus, he'll be down for it. If he can't be the president, he'll be Nelly's right hand man.
And of course, you got the Marcus Whitfield guy joining the Pope and Associates.
Right.
So you don't know if you can trust him fully.
Yeah, I don't know his character. I didn't like his character.
All this that has gone on, will Pope and Associates even be able to get clients anymore? That's another story, because now they pretty much out in the open.
Well, that's fine, because when people need help, they don't care about your dirt.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, during an impeachment trial, all of her people, like Quinn and Huck, all had to testify. They done blamed, who was it that died? I can't even remember now. I don't even remember who it was that died way back. But they done basically blamed it on Harrison.
They blamed it on the boy.
Columbus Shorts character, Harrison.
Yes, I know exactly when you said that they done blamed on him. Well, dead man can't just speak up for themselves.
Yeah, so they have nothing to go off of, because he was a part of it. He was the reason that the people died or whatever. But, I mean, they threw the impeachment committee for a loop.
That's a man.
And I loved Quinn gave an answer one time, and then they turned and asked Huck the same question. Huck's answer was what she said.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go. And this week, since the World Series is over,
praise Jesus.
Empire is back. We get to find out what happened to Hakeem, who got him, what they want him for, what they going to do with him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be something. But Cookie and Lucius got to work together. So I'm going to make a bold prediction that Thirsty is behind all this.
You know, his pimp named Slickback has got something to do with it.
I'm going
to
have a bold prediction on that. Because he just seemed like he foul. He is foul.
Yeah, he do whatever.
So, it's all going to be interesting to see what goes down. Unless you got anything else you want to add.
Well, we do need to have a quick chat about people throwing people's children around out of chairs at school. Because I don't know what your opinion is. I feel like I know, but I don't know why we have police officers in school. When I can see if you're in Chicago, like some of these bad areas in Chicago, I get it. Because those kids are rough. Some of them are, and some of them, you need a police officer on call, because you can't wait for the police to get there. They need to be in the vicinity. I get
that. Right.
But for most, and generally, you should not have police officers in school. What happened to calling the parent? What happened to just get suspended? Because I recently found out, like now, if you get into a fight at school, they just take you to jail or to juvenile.
Mm-hmm. Alternative school, something like that, yeah.
No, a lot of them go to jail or juvenile. Now, the little girl that the officer threw out of the chair, I just found out, not just, but last week, her grandmom had died, her mom had died. Sounded like the daddy wasn't nowhere around. So she got some issues, you know. Now you don't put her in this predicament where I don't know what she's going to wind up. We know nobody can get no bail. Like, nobody came up with the bail. She already in the system. This could make her life turn out worse than it probably could have been headed in whatever direction.
Right.
Because some teacher had an ego instead of just letting her sit there in the class. Because from what the student said that actually did a live interview, I saw the young man talking. He said, yeah, she pulled out the phone for a quick second and put it back up. And the teacher apparently had some policy where if you had a phone out, and he just kicks you out of the class. And she said she had to do whatever. And she wasn't leaving because she didn't think she did anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, long as she ain't disturbing the class, just leave her sitting over there, continue to teach the class. After the class, we can deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
But now you calling the administrator because, oh, I'm asking you to leave and you're ignoring me. And now I feel some kind of way. Because that's all it is. I feel some kind of way. And so you call this administrator in. Now, while you're doing all this calling and these people coming, class is being disrupted by you more than this girl that's having kind of a silent protest because she's just sitting there and won't move. I mean, that's pretty much what she was doing. Was like, I'm not leaving. And I'm not saying anything. I'm just sitting.
For everybody that doesn't know, tell them where this happened at.
Oh, so this is at Spring Hill Valley in, South Carolina?
I think that's right.
Somewhere like that. So the officer, like, a young lady has her phone out during class. She puts it up from what we are told. The teacher's like, no, you need to leave. She's like, basically, I didn't do anything. I'm not leaving. Call administrator. Administrator asked her to leave. I'm not leaving. I didn't do anything wrong. The administrator calls resource officers, what they call them. They're pretty much police officers.
Right.
Called a police officer in. He asked her to leave. She just sat there. And then he starts from the story that the young man says that he tells somebody to move their desk, which the young man's words, not mine, which implied to him that he knew what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he moves the desk. He takes her computer off her desk and moves that. And then he asks her again to leave. And he's like, you don't know who I am. And she was like, no, I don't. Who are you? And then that's when he balls her up. He tries to grab her in like a headlock from behind. And she reaches, like, which is a natural action when somebody choke you. And then the next thing you know, he not only pulls her out of the chair and flips the desk, but he tosses her across the room. And now, a student that is watching this is, stands up and is like, this is wrong. What is going on? What is going on? She says she was cursing, but still, she wasn't cursing at him. She was just saying a bad word or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but she said, he looks at her and said, oh, since you got so much to say, you can go too. She put on arrest and she ain't done nothing. She goes to jail with $1,000 bond. Now, imagine if her parents are poor and they can't come up with $100.
Mm-hmm.
All of you that don't know, usually, don't ask me why I know. But if you use whatever the bond is, you pay 10% of it.
Yeah.
So, now if you can't come up with that $100, now she's sitting in jail because she's 18 years old. No, she ain't sitting in juvenile. She in jail. Because she was asking what is going on with you tossing this little girl around.
Mm-hmm. Could all this have been avoided if just the initial, you know, the teacher trying to get the kid out of class, if they would have just, you know what, that's an authority figure, let me just go ahead, leave now, deal with the repercussions of, I don't feel like there was anything, no reason for me to be kicked out, deal with that later.
No. Because you have all kinds of people that talk about all the bad things they do and did when they were young in class, and it never ended with them being tossed and thrown around. Because you got to remember, she's, I don't know if she was 18 or not, but she's still a kid. And so if he needed some help where it came to the point that, let me call another officer, we're just going to take the whole desk out of here with you sitting in it, if it comes to that. Or somebody hold a desk while I pull you out of the desk or call for some help. What he did, there's a lot of people that's like, oh, she should have got it because she should have just listened. Well, she did. But that don't mean that give you the right to do what he did to a young woman.
No, I agree.
He got her out the chair. And so, okay, let's say you had to use that kind of force. Because most officers will tell you, you meet the force that you met with. Well, right. She wasn't doing anything, so you didn't have to use any kind of force. If she wasn't listening, again, you could have called somebody, let's move the whole desk and just take her out of here in the desk.
Right.
And then we can suspend her, whatever. But that right there, I mean, because the way he threw her out of the chair, she could have been harmed. Then he not only threw her out of the chair, once he got out of it, he tossed her across the room. That could have went bad.
Yeah.
now you got all these others. The little boy that was telling the story, he was like, I was so scared. He was like, I think a lot of my classmates were scared. Nobody knew what to say. Nobody knew what to do. When you go to school, that's the last thing you're going to think will happen. I've seen people fall, got just all out brawl. And what happened? Right. I grabbed one person. The teacher grabbed the other person. They got suspended. The end of the story.
Yeah.
Now, you get a young white guy that don't like black people to go in a church and shoot 9 people. And not only is he arrested with dignity, he gets Burger King for his troubles. Now she got a phone and she don't got tossed around like she's some criminal. Come on. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have police officers in school again. The administrator should have just waited for the class to be out. She was going to have to get up eventually. She wasn't having a sit-in that she was going to sit there. You know everybody got cell phones now. You know anything going to be recorded, but it was good that this was recorded. And he has a bad reputation anyway because they call him the Hulk. Because this video of him benching like 300 or 400 pounds and he, well, he was a football coach. My understanding, he got fired.
So he got that muscle complex.
Yeah, I say he might have been on steroids and had some kind of rage, but anywho, he don't have other incidences, you know, he got cases pending or a case pending and one case that from another student was dropped and it says like, why is he still in the school system?
Right.
Y'all need to send him out on the streets if he want to toss people around, go send him to the hood and let him do that out there.
Yeah, he need to be a probation officer.
Or something, yeah. Send him to the correction center, let him go into be a CO or something. You do not need to have police in school.
No. Goodness gracious.
But then y'all have fights in school?
Yeah.
Everybody had them, and nobody went to jail for a fight.
Nah, you just, you know, like you said, teachers stepped in, or even one time when I was actually like a senior, I stepped in and broke up a fight. Now, mind you, it was because of the two girls in the fight. One of them was one of my dad's basketball players. So, I trying to save a soul, I stepped in and pulled away. Yeah, I got scratched and slapped for my heroism. But like you say, just people stepped in, broke it up, you suspended them, whatever.
Nobody went to jail. And it's getting outrageous, Brian, just in general. Like, again, this is just one school, but my sibling's partner, she was saying, like, yeah, if you get to fight, they don't call the parents anymore and all that suspension. They arrest them. If no knife and no gun was involved, you don't put children in jail. And then I'm tired of these children being tried as adults. It might be some instances where that might need to happen.
Right.
But every time you look up, these young kids are usually blacks, to just be blunt about it. Oh, we're going to try them as adults. Like the young boy that decided he wanted to go on and said he was going to kill somebody or something on some social media rant. And he said it wasn't a joke. He said he was just like venting pretty much on social media. He gets, they find out who he is, go arrest him. Now they want to try him as an adult. But by the same token, an older white man go on and say the same thing, like the same kind of stuff that they going to kill people if you do this, that, and the other. He ain't had no repercussions. And he ain't just typed the words in. He has a video of him saying,
oh,
y'all come down here and do this, that, and the other. We're going to kill you. Get your guns ready to do it. I was like, and no consequence for him? And why is that? Since you got his face?
I mean, what, did they not take him seriously?
It was crazy.
Goodness.
We can't keep throwing away our children.
Mm-mm.
And that's what we do. We throw them away, and just be like, okay, now the world a better place. No, throwing people away is not making this world any safer.
Well,
okay, that's the end of my soapbox for today. Thank y'all.
That's gonna bring a wrap to this episode. And as always, I'm Brian McKay, and I am with.
It is awesome to be a Florida Gator, not just great. Thank you, Vegas.
You done put a whole nother adjective in there. Oh no. Anyway, this has been the Mac and T Show. Thank y'all for listening.
Oh Lord, that's hilarious.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We go on to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.